Now Arjuna wants to know more about Bhagavan. Tell me more about this Brahman. Who is this Brahman? I have heard about it, but I want more information. And so that Bhagavan is telling us in verse number 21. Avyaktokshara ityuktaha. Tamauh paramam gatim. Yam prapya na nivartante. Tadham paramam Together. Avyaktokshara ityuktaha tamahuh paramam gatim yam prapya na nivartante tadham paramam mama. So this avyakta, this unmanifest, this sat chit anand, consciousness, existence and bliss or infinitude is also called akshara. Akshara means immutable, which is never destroyed. Kshara means destruction. Akshara means never destroyed, eternal, always was, always is, and always will be. That's why it is also called Sanatan. Sanatan means eternal. Iti uktaha, it is said to be Akshara. Akshara, because Bhagwan mentions that, because in the 11th verse, he had mentioned it before. Yadaksharam Veda Vido Vadanti. So he says that Akshara, which is already known by the knowers of the Vedas, which they call Akshara, that Akshara is the same as this avyakta, as this unmanifest substratum. And tam, and that is called Paramam Gatim. Ahu means, whenever Bhagavan uses the word Ahu, Ahu means they say. What he means by they are the sages of the Upanishads, because the Upanishads have been composed by various sages, not with their own wisdom, but what they heard in their meditation. And then they spoke that, and that was transferred from teacher to student to teacher, and so on. So when he says Ahu, that means they. So what he's saying is that this truth that I am telling you is also there in the Upanishads. That's why whenever we see a paper, written a scientific paper, whether medical or in science or wherever, they always give references. Previous authors have written this and that. And using those references, then they come up with the theory. So here also, Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita does not say, this is my knowledge, I am giving it to you. He says this knowledge has been given by various rishis, various authors and scholars in the past. I am just repeating it, restating it for you. That's why they say the Bhagavad Gita is the essence of the Upanishads. Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna has, being a milkman, he has milked the essence of the Upanishads to give it to us in an easier form. The Upanishads are more difficult for us as a beginner, but the Bhagavad Gita has been simplified, because Arjuna was like us. He was a man of the world. He was a warrior. He had not studied, he didn't have great knowledge. And so whatever was given to him is valuable for all of us. So tam ahu paramam gatim, that is said to be the highest goal. Gati, as I have said before, is not only the goal, but is also the path. So they say the goal is highest, and one who chooses this path of Brahman, the path is also the highest, because the path will take you to the highest. So that's why they say it is the highest goal and it is the highest path. There is no greater knowledge than the knowledge of Brahman, and there is no greater goal than the goal of Brahman. And yam prapya, having got that, na nivartante, an individual who has reached that highest goal does not return, Why? Because that is Tadhama Parama Mama. That is my supreme abode. That is my abode. That is where I am. What is my abode? We'll talk about that. So, just as an individual goes to sleep, and then when he wakes up or she wakes up next morning, as we had studied last week, a doctor, when he sleeps as a doctor, will wake up as a doctor. A thief will sleep, wake up as a thief. A devotee of God will sleep and wake up as a devotee. So similarly, when we go into this sleep called death, which is the long sleep, when we wake up, when we start that same journey. So that is what they're saying, that death is nothing but a long sleep where you wake up and you continue your journey. And Akshara, as we have studied before, God is immutable, indestructible. So there was, even before this universe came, God was, He is, and even when this universe ends, God will be. And there is no change. It is the immutable, it is said to be Avyaya, it is said to be Akshara, all-knowing, all-pervading, everything is that God. But then he says, Tadham Paramam Mama, that is my abode. So we somehow think my abode means it's like my house. Okay, I am there and my house. So I am separate from my house. I live in Bakersfield, so I and then house are separate. But in the Lord's case, Bhagwan and his abode are one. Because in Brahman, there cannot be duality. There cannot be two. You cannot be Bhagwan Shri Krishna and then his abode, which we call heaven or Paramdhama. Actually, that is one. But for our understanding, he says Dhamma. When he says Dhamma, does not mean home. It means this zone of evolution. So from this lower zone of evolution, I evolve to this higher zone. What do we mean by evolving from lower zone to higher zone? So, my beginning, when I start my spiritual journey, I think I am this body, right? So that is my first understanding, and which we have been thinking for many lifetimes, even when I was a protozoa or a plant or a bird or a fish or an animal. I thought I am this body. And so as humans also, we have been thinking ever since we were little, I am this body, my name is Anil, I am a male, I am whatever my, you know, different descriptions. I am a doctor, I am a father, I am a, you know, son, grandson. All those, you know, our descriptions are related to the body. So we first start out by thinking I am this body. And so as body, I have to serve the world. And that is good. You know, I serve the world, make the world a better place. You know, like Mahatma Gandhi ji and Martin Luther and all. And that is good. Then subtler than that, to think I am this body is I think I am this jiva. I am this subtle body called mind and intellect, which is now the thinking has become subtle. The gross body is visible to us. The mind and intellect is not visible, but all the scriptures say, even the Christianity, even Islam, all of them say that the subtle body, this mind and intellect, is called the jivatma or the jiva, which at the time of death, the body gets burnt or buried or whatever happens, you know, embalmed, whatever happens to the body. Talking about what happens to the body, this man got a telegram. This was before the day of computers, and his mother-in-law was traveling with a senior group in Italy, and they were all traveling sightseeing, and he was in California, and he gets a telegram from the undertaker that your mother-in-law passed away. Suddenly she had a heart attack and she passed away, and you know, what do you want us to do with the body? You know, do you want us to bury? Do you want us to cremate or do you want us to embalm it? He says, take no chances, do all three. Similarly, they say that to reach God, do all three. Do path of service, path of bhakti, and path of knowledge. So with the body, you serve the world. With the mind, you love God. and with the intellect, you know, because this path is not easy. The path to reach the highest needs a lot of effort. And we have to put in time, just as to become a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer. You know, people take 30 years, 35 years, computers and anything. So similarly, to progress spiritually, we need to put in effort. And the effort has to be a slow evolution from I am this body to I am the jiva. I am this subtle body, but then I have to evolve to I am Atman, I am the self. And that is the knowledge of the wise person. I just heard a very beautiful quotation. It says, argue for your limitations and sure enough they are yours. Richard Bach is a very famous writer. So he says, if you think you are limited, you will remain limited. You know, it is up to you. If you think I am this body and my job is to serve the world, that's very good. But the next step is to know I am the mind and intellect and I am the jiva, and ultimately to grow to that understanding that God and I are one. And once we reach that state of enlightenment, that is called the jnani, who becomes one with God, then for such a person, there is no return. You may say, oh, what, does he waste his life? No, as we said last time, his teachings become eternal. Not only that, Narsimha Mehta says it very beautiful in his Vaishnav Jan. He says, eno darshan karta kulo ekote ratariyare. So when you meet such a wise person, not only he blesses all his generations, 71, but even your generation. So the point is that these Mahatmas, these great souls, continue to bless the universe even after they have become one with God. Because their teachings and their presence. So that is why they say that that is a zone of no return, where then you don't need to come back to this zone of what last in earlier he had said, Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. Bhagavan Sri Krishna says this world is a world of sorrow, which is temporary. They say, why doesn't he come back? Why not? So Gurudev in his commentaries gives us a very, very beautiful example. He says, well, who goes to the hospital? If you are well, do you say, I'm feeling good, but I just want to go visit the hospital for a week and go stay there? No, nobody says that. Who goes to the hospital? One who is sick. So if I have a fever, if I have, you know, need surgery, if I have something wrong, then I go to the hospital, I get treated, and then I come out. And then I say, I don't want to go to the hospital anymore. I've had enough of that. So Gurudev says this world is like a hospital where we all come for treatment. And what is our illness? Our illnesses are our vasanas, our negative tendencies, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, selfishness. So these are the sores, these are the ulcers on, not on our body, but on our mind when we have these negativities. So this world is a hospital where I learn. And who is the doctor? The doctor, of course, is the divine doctor, Sri Krishna himself. So in the presence of the doctor, in the presence of God, with the medicine that is given to us by the Bhagavad Gita, we get cured of all our negativities, all our anger, greed, jealousy. And then I do not need to come back to this hospital of the world. I evolve to the higher state. So that's why they say the Bhagavad Gita will take you. That's why Bhagavan says, yam prapya na nivartante tad dham paramam mama. Then such an individual lives with me forever, becomes one with me, and then there is no more birth, no more rebirth for such an individual. Though Guruji at one place I remember had said that he said that these wise people, occasionally when Bhagwan needs a prophet, a teacher, he will say, oh, you know, in his funny way, he says, oh, you have been sitting here for several thousand years doing nothing. Come on, go back to earth. I need you. And so Bhagwan will send these wise souls from time to time, and they are the ones who become prophets. And then they don't need to learn. Look at Shankaracharya ji. By age 5 or 6, he was already writing commentaries on the scriptures, Raman Maharishi. So these are the people who are already enlightened even at birth, but they come to guide the world, to guide us. So that is what he says, that that is the goal of life. But people continue to postpone it. And they postpone and they say, it's okay, I'll study later. And I'll end with a, another story. This is a true story. It happened that there was this man who was a very, very successful businessman, multimillionaire, had so much money and always working. But he used to go to this guru once every 3 months or 6 months and, you know, offer his pranams and make a donation. And then he would, and the guru would say, why are you working so hard? You have enough. You are so comfortable. You need to give up this and take on to the spiritual path. He says, yeah, Guruji, I know, but I next year I'll do it. I don't have time now. I am so busy. I have opened a new business. I have opened a new franchise, or the market is down and this is not the good time to sell. And so he kept on postponing. And it is said one night he had a dream, and he dreamt that he was dying. And he dreamt that, oh, I am dying and I'm falling somewhere deep in this hole. And as he was falling, as he was coming out of this dream, he said, oh God, if I come out of this death, I promise you, I will take up your path. But when he woke up, he couldn't, because he had suffered a stroke in the middle of the night and he had become unconscious. His mind was not working, his body. Then it is too late. So the point is that we don't know what life is holding for us, at what time, what may happen. So take this knowledge and continue to grow, continue to evolve, and the time is not to be wasted. So that is what he says, that make your goal that from body I have to evolve to jiva, from jiva to the self, and become one with that, the total consciousness, and then that is the zone of eternal bliss. And such people are the ones who become teachers, who become prophets, who become guides for the rest of us. And that is the essence of the three verses today, that there is birth and death, which everybody goes through, but ultimately you have to go beyond birth and death to the eternal zone of what we call as Father in heaven, what we call as Brahman, what we call as Allah, the total consciousness, and the oneness with that is been explained, and that is the goal of life. Now, everything that is precious, we have to pay a price, right? If I want something precious, I have to pay a price. So what is the price for this enlightenment? Bhagwan will tell us next week. What is the price and how we can attain this? So we'll talk about that next week. And also Bhagavan will tell us about the two paths, the path of light and the path of darkness. Because this whole chapter is devoted to what happens after death. So we have 15 minutes. If there's any questions, comments, anything anybody would like to ask.
The last one, you were explaining the body, mind and Atman. You do the three things. So with body, you do karma yoga service.
Yeah. And with the mind, you love God.
So it's Bhakti Yoga?
Bhakti Yoga, yes.
And then ultimately you know your
Jnana.
Right. And so there are three paths. Karma Yoga, yeah, with the body, Bhakti Yoga with the mind, and Jnana Yoga with the intellect.
That will be with Atman or with intellect?
No, intellect. So body, mind and intellect are my three equipments. So with the body, I serve. With the mind, I love. With the intellect, I know. And then putting all three together, I then meditate and I abide in that truth. And then all three are required to reach the Atman, the state of self. So that is beyond the intellect. Even the intellect alone cannot reach. But the body, the mind, the intellect, when all three are put, that's why they said, no, take no chances, do all three. So put all three together, with service, with love, and with knowledge, with the Bhagavad Gita, then you go beyond the intellect to the Atman. So Atman is beyond intellect. Atman cannot be known by intellect, but yes.
Yeah, Thank you. We always say when we exhaust our vasana, or when all the karmas are done, we die, right? And because we have nothing to do. How do you explain the people who stay in coma for years? What kind of vasanas they have?
Okay, see, the vasanas we do not exhaust. You can only exhaust vasanas through knowledge and through service. Vasanas, what they say is they can be sublimated. One way is that people keep indulging in the vasanas, keep enjoying. All you're doing is strengthening the vasanas. And then vasanas can be good or can be bad, what they call as shubha and ashubha. If there are ashubha vasanas, they will take you downwards. Shubha vasanas will take you towards enlightenment. So what they say, convert your ashubh vasanas to shubh vasanas. Convert your negative tendencies to positive tendencies. But vasanas will go with you. The only way to exhaust your vasanas is through karma yoga. You do service, you work unselfishly, you dedicate all activities to God. And through meditation and through service and through love for God, the vasanas are slowly exhausted. But those who do not exhaust the vasanas in this life, then they take another birth. But one who achieves enlightenment has no longer any vasanas, goes beyond vasanas. Like the Ratnakar, remember that, who became Valmiki, that dacoit, that thief who threw med.
Yes.
So in his case, all the vasanas were burnt because in meditation, he dissolved his individuality. But a person who is in coma is not exhausting any vasanas. He or she has unfulfilled karmas that they have not been fulfilled, and his prarabdha karma for this life has not yet been fulfilled. And so if that person lives in coma for 5 or 8 or 10 years, they are exhausting their prarabdha karma, because it is a suffering in a way, you know, if they are lying in coma and they are, you know, have bed sores and this and that. So their karmas, their prarabdha karma is being exhausted. Nothing happens to their vasanas in coma.
But they are not doing any work.
No, they are not doing any work, but they are suffering they are suffering the consequences of their previous actions. Exhausting their karmas. Mm-hmm. Suppose I have done some bad karmas, then as a result of that, I may then be in coma for many, many years.
Can all situations be explained by karma theory?
Yes. Actually, karma theory is very complex and complicated. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Gahana Karmano Gati.
Yeah.
Because we do not know what karma I have done at what time, you know, in which lifetime, number one. Number two, it's not only my karma, but the karmas of everybody. Say if I belong to a family, then there is individual karma, individual destiny, and then family destiny.
Yes,
then I belong to a particular country. So like the country has its destiny. So based on the kind of destiny of that country, that kind of leader you get, and then, you know, whatever is happening at the national level, whatever is, so then the earth has its own destiny because of which whatever good or bad is happening. So the karmas, I could be going through my individual karmas, or I could be going through my family karmas, or like could be the city. Like suppose the whole city gets destroyed in an earthquake and thousands of people die, and that city, you know, gets completely demolished. So then what happened? It was the destiny of that whole city. So karmas can be, are very multiple. There are multiple layers. And you and I cannot know why something is happening at what time. All you just say is it is God's will. There is something in it. And take whatever is happening as a lesson to grow, to evolve. That wherever I am, in whatever situation God has placed me, is the perfect situation for my evolution. So rather than taking it negatively that I must have done something and because of which it is happening, no, wherever I am is the perfect place. Like right now we are here. That is such a blessing of Bhagwan and Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda that we have this forum satsang, where we can satsang. So whatever situation I am in is a perfect place for me to evolve. And this divine doctor is only giving me the right medicine I need. See, he knows what medicine I need for my growth, for my evolution. So one is to look at it passively. Oh, there is some bad karma or good karma. Another one is that I am in this place to evolve. I thank God and take advantage of this opportunity. I know it's a very difficult question to answer. I tried my best. Yeah.
Also, like individual evolvement, I always feel that that's so a selfish motive, so to say. You're not lifting everybody else. But then again, you explained that these Mahatmas come from time to time and they lift up everybody.
Right.
So our goal should be just limited to just us only. I mean, my individual jiva is what I need to lift up.
Right. You are happy, you make everybody around you.
Right. I think what Gandhiji said, you change and the world will change with you. So when I evolve, then everybody around me evolves. So you become a lamp. When you are happy, you give happiness. When you are wise, you share wisdom. So when a person is evolving, he's not evolving himself or herself, but the whole society is growing. That's why Kul Eko Tirtha Aryare. That's a very, very beautiful example where he says that an enlightened master, a Vaishnav Jan, does not only evolve himself. Whoever is around him is also growing. So yes, it's not a selfish activity, but it is the required for everyone. Every one of us has to go through this path. And along with that, you serve the world. As we said, the river, she has to merge with the river, but along with that, she serves on both banks to serve the people. Ultimately, she merges with the ocean. But along that way, people are benefiting from the presence of the river. They're drawing water and all. So our life should be like the river. I serve as I'm going, but my goal is to merge. And a wise person always serves. You know, look at Swami Chinmayananda. You know, he started this organization. He left his body in 1993. For more than 30 years, you know, we are still studying, we are learning, we are using his books, we are using his, all of them. You know, look at all these great teachers, you know, Narsimha Mehta, look at Jesus, look at Tukaram, look at Mirabai. Their teachings are eternal. So even though it may look like Mirabai was only seeking her own evolution with Krishna, but she is an inspiration to millions of, you know, people. Even today, we are still talking about her. Her goal was not to teach or anything. She just sang for Bhagwan. She said, I'm just singing for him, but we are all using those songs to learn. So enlightenment is actually a very, very unselfish activity. It may seem like that the person is only growing, but along with that, a lot of people are benefiting.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good question. Thank you. बुद्धिहीन तनु जानिके सुमिरो पवन कुमार बल बुद्धि विद्या देह मोहि हर हो क्लेश विकार जय हनुमान ज्ञान गुण सागर जय कपीश तिहु लोक उजागर राम दूत अतुलित बल धामा अंजनी पुत्र पवन सुत नामा महावीर विक्रम बजरंगी उमति निवार सुमति के संगी कंचन वर्ण विराज सुबेशा कानन कुंडल कुंचित केशा आत वज्र और ध्वजा विराजे काने मूज जने उषाजे शंकर सुवन केसरी नंदन तेज प्रताप महाजगवंत विद्यावान गुणी अति चातुर काम काज करबे को आतुर प्रभु चरित्र सुनबे को रसिया Okay, we'll end with a closing prayer. Kayena vacha manasendriyeva buddhyatmana va prakrite svabhavat karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami narayanayeti samarpayami sarve bhavantu sukhinah sarve santu niramayah sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet om asato ma satgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityor ma amritam gamaya om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha
Hari Om.